You're listening to Around Comics, episode 219, brought to you by InStockTrades.com, Afro Samurai by Funimation, and Smuggling Spirits from Studio 407. From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you feel like braving the weather, you can come on by and say howdy. It's cold out there.
It is cold. And I wouldn't recommend coming today because it kind of smells like a toilet.
It's like a sewer in here.
Yeah, they gotta get that taken
little
care
bit.
Of.
No, it's fine, though. It's custom.
I thought it was our guest at first, but I didn't want to say anything.
It's not even warming up. But a couple of hello stupids. He's just jumping right in.
After the very tame last two episodes with Art Baltazar, I have a feeling that is going to change dramatically.
You need to pump things up. Yeah. Art's a great guy. Art is a sweetheart.
Yep, so get your earmuffs on.
Juice.
Art Baltazar. Yeah, okay, right. He draws those
tiny titans.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I'm Christopher Niesman. I'm your host. Let me get you introduced to this week's panel. First of all, my partner in crime on the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good.
All right. The host of Tom vs. the JLA, Mr. Tom Cater.
This show's not on anymore. It's Tom vs. the Flash.
Oh, did I say JLA?
Jesus Christ.
Get it right.
I guess if I paid you money for that, you would have gotten
it right.
You would have gotten it right, I would hope. Yeah. I also have Beats by the RZA.
I like.
You guys sound like you're married.
We yell at each other.
We've been doing this for 3 years.
Which we've got to talk about that in a minute. But Tom, hi, how are you?
I like your new iTunes logo thing.
That someone drew?
Yeah, who did that?
That was cool. That's
DC
cool.
Stelpner from New York.
Cool. That was awesome.
I was jealous.
Yeah, it was really good. I got some creepy ones. You can see them now.
I want to see the creepy ones.
Anything involving a real picture of me or anything. Enters the realm of weird.
You hate the fact that you are accessible through Google Images now.
I do not like it one bit.
Well, let me introduce our special guest this week. If you listen to the Comic Geek Speak podcast, you probably know him affectionately as Uncle Sal. Here, we just call him the other Sal, because we already have a Sal. He is a comics veteran. He is a comics veteran who has worn many hats in the industry, which we'll hear all about, including being the creative force behind the Mercury Comics Press Atomica. He is Mr. Sal Abernathy.
Guys, thanks for having me on.
It's great to have
you here.
Came all the way from the suburbs.
It's weird. I actually grew up around here, and now I'm living in,
hell.
Suburban hell. I'm sorry. I'm not a big... My wife will probably hear this. I'm not a big suburban guy, so...
You're in witness protection.
Witness protection in Oak Park.
Do you live next to people in witness protection?
Everybody's nice. They just all, say good morning and wave and don't urinate in your doorways, which is what I'm used to growing up in the city, and I don't have that. So
miss it a little.
No, when you get married, you're like, you throw your, it's about compromise, so... I'll
you have
survive.
Kids?
Do you want
one
to
kid.
Come up there and urinate on your door?
One kid. Yeah, well, okay. I'd get homesick. I got one little
we
guy.
We can recreate the experience of living in the city for you.
Yeah.
I'll sleep in your garage.
Waiting for the trade has never been easier. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do in fact ship for free. Well, before we, one thing we should talk about a little bit later is that Sal is a huge Captain Marvel fan.
Yes,
and
I am
you've been the model as Captain Marvel in the past,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like 60 pounds ago, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was, well, Alex and I used to work, well, we both worked at Leo Burnett, just under different, he was in the main office and I was in one of the studios, and then we kind of hooked up through Haley's Comics. You know, Haley's Comics used to be on Lincoln, and
I remember.
They closed it down, yeah. So we hooked up there. It was like a local Chicago
scene
of comic artists, Alex and Angel Medina and Hillary Barta and a couple other guys. And he was working on Kingdom Come at the time, and he asked me what I thought of Shazam, and I said it was the, I thought it was the gayest costume in the comics, with the short little cape, and I made a joke, and then he said, would I be willing to wear the costume for
and then you said
photo reference, okay. Yeah.
I was going to say, how does this sentence end?
No,
he just to come home with me and put on a costume.
No, I was, you know, it's not my flavor, but he's meticulous with everything. He does photo reference for everything, and I thought it was cool. I had no idea what I was getting involved with, because I get some scary Captain Marvel groupies at shows that don't understand. They ask me like real questions about the guy with the worm and all that.
Can you say Shazam?
And can I say Shazam? And
see,
all
it's funny because you made not the mistake, but the same thing I do is I always refer to that character as Shazam. Mm-hmm. And it's really Captain Marvel, but
right.
I grew up, I guess it was the cartoon that was called Shazam.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I always think of that character as Shazam. Right.
Yeah. I've always thought I can understand someone who stalks or is obsessed with a real human being, because you could probably really meet them, but when you enter that level of obsession with a fictional character,
yeah,
it's like a whole another level.
Well, I told Alex, I go, it was the real show, and then I met the guy that played the real guy, and he's like a stone cold hillbilly. I mean, no, he's like
that guy, right?
Yeah, what's his face?
I can't think of his name. Yeah. Sumptress would know his name.
He's like a hardcore hillbilly, that guy. I mean, he spits tobacco.
Captain Marvel
tries to make moves on his sister and everything. It's weird. And then he asked me about the show, and I go, yeah, I used to have the hots for ISIS, because it was the Shazam ISIS thing,
yeah.
You know, when I was, you know, I don't know, 9 or whatever.
Sure.
And, you know, flip from Saturday morning cartoons to ISIS. But that's all I knew about Captain Marvel. Because I was a Marvel guy growing up, and
okay.
I only knew the
Marvel stuff.
Yeah. Who's the artist on Captain Marvel?
There was CC Beck.
No, the other guy. The guy that went on to do...
he also could see orange.
I'm having a
Don
Starlin.
Starlin.
Jim Starlin was the artist on Captain. I was a big fan of that growing up. All Marvel stuff.
The Marvel Captain Marvel.
And never got into DC. I was always reading Marvel as a kid, because I used to buy comics at the drugstore on Broadway in Bryn Mawr. And if you got there the wrong day, they were cleaned out. So it was Little Lotta or Marvel. And
it's still true today, by the way.
DC was no, it was the spin racks, and if you just had, you just
right,
got
you
there,
late.
You didn't know when the comics were
right.
coming, and all they had was Marvel. So
you'd get, you know, Scooby Doo, or
yeah,
you get
yeah.
You know,
Little Lotta, or you know, Dennis the Menace, or Fantastic
Richie
Four.
Rich,
yeah. Yeah.
A little Rich here.
Yeah.
Now you are born and bred Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, North Side.
Nice.
Like, you know, right. Actually, like a mile away from here. Went to Senn High School.
Back home.
Yeah, right on Hollywood and Broadway. It looked like a penitentiary, but you know, I survived.
It's amazing how many...
It's like Shawshank.
I mean, since we started doing this show, how many people in the comic industry we've met that lived literally within... Like,
blocks.
Yeah, blocks of this shop.
Yeah. And still to this day... Hillary Barta was a couple blocks from here, and we have Hill on the show quite a
sure.
bit. Tim Seeley lives right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Huddleston, Jeffrey Brown, they all live basically within walking distance of this shop. So I know there's some weird magnetism to this neighborhood for comic folks.
Well, it was weird, because in the 90s it went crazy. There were all these pop up comic
shops
stores
everywhere.
All over the place, and then there was nothing for a long time except Chicago Comics or Graham Crackers, and then. After the, you know, the kind of the comic thing, and it dried up for a while, and then now there's like 3-4 new stores in the city, so it's good to see comics are, you know, there's stores around because it's become like porn. You know, you got to go to a store to buy comics.
Getting your brand back.
Growing up, we could get them under the L. We could get them at Dominick's. You can get them at the grocery store. You
right.
get them at the drugstore. You can get them anywhere. And now, you know, it's harder
because
you got to go to one place. So
buy your comics and a fake Rolex from the guy under the tracks.
Exactly.
I got your Fantastic Four and your gold plated
right.
Rolex.
But it, no, it's good to see that there's more places to get them.
Yeah, there's tons now. In I mean, geez, on this street alone, there's, what, three, four?
Well,
yeah.
All right.
West Grand.
Well, right. It's like a treehouse where he's got books in the back.
Clubhouse.
Yeah, get out of my yard.
Variety is a store that I'm glad that it's there just because it's an experience that every comic book fan should walk in, look at it, and walk out just to know that it exists.
Whenever they do like a news story about comics or comic book shops, they must just look up what the oldest one is like that's around
and
go to Variety.
And all they do is they go in there and say, oh, comics suck. I mean, when Larry's closed, he was talking about, he went on a two-hour diatribe about what was wrong with comics. And that had nothing to do with it. I mean, he was the business model of how to destroy and throw your family's money away. Yeah. You needed like Gordon Ramsay to go in there with like comic store nightmares and tell this idiot
that would be a great show.
No, he's doing everything wrong. He yells at you when you walk in. The place is a shithole from outside and inside. And he doesn't have anything new. Everything's old. There's like the floor is torn
off.
How
does he even stay in business?
No, it's like something out of Apocalypse Now, you know, or a Deer Hunter where they made him play Russian roulette. That's Larry's comics. Yeah. That's Larry's comics. You know, go down and get a body out of the, you know, out of the water. And then he's bitching, oh, comics are this guy. It's nothing to do with that.
He's independently wealthy. He's yelling at people.
Comics ran him out of business.
That guy couldn't sell lemonade in front of his house. And he got him running a comic store. And he's saying, oh, it's because comics aren't any good anymore. No, it's because, you know, you treat people badly. They're not coming back.
Yeah, it couldn't possibly be that.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, comics suck. I'm a consummate businessman.
And that's not the case anymore. You know, I mean, there was a time when comics had kind of ebbed down.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was talking to Sal about this today. I bought 16 comic books this week. Mm-hmm. And
money bags.
Well, it was just a really, just like, really heavy week.
No wonder we have three sponsors.
He's got to walk into his car. Make sure. Look both ways.
Somebody buy those comic books.
Yeah. Just like Mr. Peanut right now, too. Yeah. His top hat and monocle.
You like the monocle? That's a fedora. Thank you very much.
He's got a snuff box. You
know. Excuse me. Pardon me. Would you happen to have? Yeah.
He puts Old Spice on a handkerchief and puts it under his nose when he goes outside.
It's just like that, people. Yeah. I swear, it's just like that.
My
tattered Hawaiian shirt.
Where's my satin jacket?
Yeah.
Oh my!
But no, I was I'm at home trying to get through the stack of comics before we recorded tonight, and I was like, I can't remember so many comics being on the shelves that I really enjoyed, and I almost find myself tearing through them just to kind of digest them so I can, you know, talk about them here. And I remember as a kid that, you know, if I would get a copy of the X-Men, I would read it cover to cover 4, 5, 10 times. And
was it a Grant Morrison one?
No, it was not. It was not to decode the son of a bitch.
Did you ever hear a story about Grant Morrison shitting his pants on the airplane?
But I think we're getting ready.
You guys don't like Grant Morrison?
No, I mean,
I'm not one of those star effer guys who's going to tell you I know him. I know him. If I saw him, he knows who I am. Right. We don't hang out and, you know,
acquaintances.
We don't pick out curtains or anything like that. But so he's telling me a story about how he's coming from England and he travels with his girlfriend, who's phenomenal. She's like a model. She's gorgeous. And he always dresses like a James Bond villain whenever you see him.
Every time we see a picture of him,
he does. No, like the 60s James Bond films where he's got like, you know, a knife in his shoe and all that stuff. So you see, you know it's him. So he dropped acid before he got on the plane.
Sure.
Well, we can't judge. What do I know? I don't, you know.
He's Scottish.
God bless him. Yeah, they're all Europeans. So he's wearing a white, you know, three-piece suit, like just white. I mean, he looks
ready
like the good
travel
humor guy. Yeah. So he gets up to go to the bathroom, and he's walking through the aisle, and he realizes he shit his pants. Like real bad diarrhea, and he was on acid, so I guess he didn't know what happened. So when he came back, as he was walking back, he said everybody was looking at him funny, and then his girlfriend told him, no, you shit your pants. So I don't know what he did. I don't know if he went in and rinsed his pants out or what he was doing. Yeah, yeah. Because I shit my pants at a Jay Giles Band concert one time. But that was because it was an accident. But, you know...
I think that happens to most people at a Jay Giles
concert. Yeah,
no, it wasn't because, you know.
What was the accident? Shitting your pants or being at the Jay Giles concert?
Well, it was. I just went because it was a thing that, when Poplar Creek was, you know.
Oh, yes.
And it was still Poplar Creek. Yes. So we were there to see. They were. It was Jay Giles and it was the Police, I think, were together.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So.
Was it before the police came out or
no,
after?
No, so it was like 60 of
the
us.
The police were so good, I just shit my pants.
No, the police, you know, like they didn't, they spelled it with an A or something in those days. Sting didn't have a nose job at that point, you know, and he wasn't into yoga. He was just a, you know, fat English guy. So we're like 60 of us in a Vega, and we go to Poplar Creek, and I don't even know if we had tickets or not. But on your way to into Poplar Creek, there's just this long row of, and you know, it's
just sitting there.
It's just cops. So everybody, we it was like an opium den in the car. We had everything. We had beer, booze, and everything. So I said, guys, I gotta go. I'm gonna crap my. I'm literally gonna shit my pants like right now. It wasn't like I had time. You know when your mind goes, oh, you got time, and you can see the clock. No, it was like a turtle. The head was coming right out, and it was ready to go. So I said, let me out. And they're like, well, what are we gonna do? I said, just let me out. So
shit in a cop car.
I run. No, I ran on the side of the road. You know they have these embankments.
Yeah, I remember.
And I pull my pants on and I squat. And now, man, I drank and I don't know how much. I was all of 18. So I this is like army training. I didn't care. I just went and I pulled my pants up and I ran and I got back in the car. But what happened was when I pulled my pants down, I actually shit in my pants. I shit into
right
it. Yeah, it was like a bucket. So
it's dark out.
As I pulled my pants up, when I got in the car, you know, when I sat down, it started.
So technically, you didn't shit your pants. You shit in your pants.
No, there was air. No, it hit the air, which is worse because human shit is real bad. And then it was coming up my back, so I could literally reach in my belt and pull.
So this was shit out. So this was this was before or after the concert?
No, this was on the way to the concert. So when I got to the concert, I ran in the bathroom. And I'm rinsing, you know, and finally it's just shit. The sink, it's just getting worse. It's like Bosco in a sink. It just keeps getting, you know, much, much worse. So there's nothing I could possibly do to make this any better. And I'm in the concert's going on. Everybody's having a good time. And I'm the bathrooms are empty during the concert, except for guys that are OD'd that are laying in the corner. I was going to steal his underwear because I didn't have it.
This story does end with you going commando, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I turned my jeans inside out because it was just, I figured, who cares?
At this point.
Yeah, I'll take what I can get.
You're like a trendsetter.
I'll take what I can get. I didn't care. And I bought one of those horrible black t-shirts in those days. They were like $65 for a t-shirt, you know, and you washed them twice.
Was it the Police or the Giles?
I think it was Freeze Frame because that was, they had one song and it was. If you had that tape, you know, in high school, you got laid. So I had it.
You should really draw this story out.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
No, I mean literally draw this story out.
No,
not like make it longer. I mean draw the story.
Everybody's either has or come close to shit.
Or will.
Or will. You know,
if it hasn't happened
to you, I think I've talked about it
ready.
On the show before. Absolutely. There's been probably three times in my life I've shit myself. As an adult. Before that, I don't know. But yeah, absolutely.
And it's harder in the winter.
If you're going to, you should go to Larry's Comics and shit yourself.
No one would know. No one would know the difference. Trust me. No one.
It doesn't matter.
You could literally, you know, just dump a porta potty in there and you wouldn't know the difference. He would, you know, it would be like incense.
He would question when he built an extension. Yeah. When did I build this room? This extra room.
It's not good.
What a pleasant place. You should do an autobiographical comic where you draw out various shitting yourself scenes of various people, and you can just solicit people to give you their shitting stories.
And I get in this argument with people. It's like it's happened to everybody, but some people get all snobby on you and say it hasn't happened. It happens. You know, I mean, you get.
I cannot argue, sir.
That could be the name of the comic if you called it.
You put rubber bands at the end of your pants so it doesn't run out.
It happens.
Everybody's kicked the Snickers out of their pants leg every once in a while.
It happens.
It happens.
It does happen. Yeah. There's no question. Yeah. I don't know about these two jokers, you know, but me, yeah, no question.
I'm sure it'll happen to me. It will happen at some point.
Mom told me I shit in the bathtub when I was a baby.
All right. Well, I think you guys just start partying.
Oh, no, no. I'm talking like a legal age. You got to be old enough to drive or the story doesn't count.
Well, maybe I just haven't had my time yet. Maybe that
you've
time
never gotten.
I can't imagine your way home as drunk as you get that you've never shit yourself. That amazing. There's no. You probably have. That's you were just too fucking drunk to remember.
That's what it happens because your mind and ass clock aren't synced. Because your ass clock will tell you, look, you've got like 8 minutes. Right. It's coming. And then you get like
3 minutes into it.
It gets like Raiders at the beginning where the ball is rolling out. Where it's just you can't stop it. You just got to get the hell out of the way.
There's poison darts. Nobody knows what's going on.
When I was in college, I got locked out of my apartment one time. And my neighbor, my roommate's mother used to send him those big tins of popcorn.
Uh-huh.
So it was waiting for him in front of the door. And I didn't know where to go. So I just dumped out the tin. And I went in the tin. And I closed the tin. And I used like a bounce sheet from the laundry room in our building because you got to improvise. It's like SEAL training when you got to go out.
You have 22 pages of It Happens ready right now.
And where's like, the material where did all the popcorn? Happens? Why was there popcorn all over in front of the house? I was like, I don't know.
I don't know
somebody broke
somebody
in.
Somebody shit in your popcorn. Somebody shit in it.
I was like, yeah. I just put it in the garbage.
What kind of country are we living in?
No, I rewrapped it and everything. I didn't even just like leave it in the can. So I wanted, somebody to steal it. No. I rewrapped it. I put it in the garbage.
Oh,
because where I went to school, the neighborhood was so bad they would steal anything. So I said I want somebody to
Christmas.
Yeah, here you go. It sat in the sun all day. It was it was like a crock pot, and then they opened it up.
Samuel L. Jackson returns in the sequel to the best-selling anime of 2007, Afro Samurai Resurrection. Afro Samurai avenged his father and found a life of peace, but a beautiful and deadly woman is forcing him back into the game. Starring Samuel L. Jackson and Lucy Liu, with new beats from the RZA featuring 2 hours of extras. Get the Blu-ray and DVD on February 3rd. Afro Samurai Resurrection. One brother, one path, 1,000 deaths.
Visit AfroSamurai.com for more details.
Well, Tom keeps mentioning it, the idea of an autobiographical. Have you ever thought about doing that? You're a great storyteller. You've got a ton of stuff that have you ever thought about it?
Well, I was doing it. I wanted to finish up Atomica because Atomica was my gasp at not being able to get hired at Marvel and DC. They just wouldn't hire me. They didn't like my style, and I went as far as I could go in terms of interviewing with them, and just reached a point where I said I can't do this anymore. And then I had a couple other ideas of stuff I wanted to do after Atomica, so maybe something like that. But I like comic stuff. I like superheroes.
Sure.
That's the problem. Yeah. But yeah, I thought I got a couple other creator-owned books in mind after I finished this up.
Mm-hmm. So. Now Atomica, that's one of the books that is a speakeasy survivor.
That was mm-hmm. those guys, stuck up a two-car funeral speakeasy. Yeah.
Another
worthless.
Another friend of the show, Steve Bryant, Athena Voltaire.
Okay.
And we talked to Steve quite a bit, and there was there was one that had a lot of critical Elk's Run. Wasn't that a
Elk's Run? I think did well.
Wasn't that Joshua Falcoff?
There was some. That was the thing about speakeasy. Great books. Yeah. Terrible company, apparently. Yeah.
Well, but they just didn't know what they were doing. Yeah. I mean, they spelled my name wrong in the ad 3 times.
Which not good.
So you get
how hard is it to sell?
I said, guys, look it up. How hard is it? And they just, it started out they were gonna try to keep it where it was lean and mean books, because if you're a publisher and you work it the way Image works it, and they decide to pick you up, you have to pay them each issue for distribution and marketing, which is what they're supposed to do. But in the end, if they're not doing any marketing and they're not doing anything to help you pimp the book, then you really don't need them. You could do it yourself. And I was doing, and as the artist, and I was doing all the work anyway, and I was getting the cover guys, and I was, and they were doing nothing for their money. And I just said, and then they started to take on more and more books, but the quality of the book started to go down. They were just taking on anybody who said they had a book. And I could see they were just trying to get the money,
right?
And then I jumped ship, and then sure enough,
you know, literally fell apart a couple of months later. And ironically enough, the worst part about it is they fell apart owing a lot of people money, you know, which is the worst thing to do is to jump ship and leave artists, you know, hanging.
Unfortunately, it's not an uncommon story in the in this industry. You know, it's
gotta be careful.
Which kind of leads into another subject that a lot of people have been talking about. I'm sure is going to affect Atomica. Hopefully, not affect Atomica. And that's Diamond's new
2500. Yeah. We were talking about it. Actually, talking to some people about it on the way here. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of books, like big books, Vertigo books, that are under 6,000, that are under 5,000. Because you got to remember, even though the orders are at 6 or 7, according to whatever their records say, there's Damaged, and then there's also a lot of books they give away to promote. So the 2,500 thing, you know, might is bad for a lot of small press guys, for guys who just want to or are happy putting out, you know, a small book with a small budget.
Just want to make it available.
And they're doing it all themselves, you know. But also the harder part, too, isn't so much like with Atomica. I got big guys to do covers because I knew that a lot of store owners just don't pick up independent books, period. And they'll tell you they don't. Mm-hmm. They'll say, you got Marvel, you got Image, they never get past that in the preview catalog, and then that's
they
it.
They might carry Buffy, but it's the only Dark Horse.
A couple. Or if they do pick up the book, they'll say, we buy 5, we buy 10, you know. And a lot of people say, just tell me right to my face, no, we only buy the trade. We wait for the trade, we don't want to, because we miss a couple issues here and there, and it's done, so... It's unfortunate because there's a lot of good, like Elk's Run, you know, as a perfect example. If a guy was to put it out himself at the time, his print run wouldn't have been 2,500. It would have been lower, for sure.
Well, that in the case of Elk's Run, if I'm remembering correctly, that was, I want to say it was a 6 or an 8 issue series that I think Speakeasy got 4 issues out.
Yeah.
I think it was a 6 issue.
Yeah.
Speakeasy got 4 issues out, and he never released the final 2 issues in single format. Matt just kind of went straight to the trade at that point, so you know it's
the trade is a blessing and a curse, because you sell a lot of trades, and when I got the first 6 issues of Atomica together and you do put it in a trade, we sell tons more of those than we do single issues, because a lot of people, again, they just tell you they're waiting for the trade. So, and you also got the, you know, bookstores picking up trades now, Barnes and Noble, Borders, and guys like that. So that's the good side. The downside is I still like the single issues. You know, I still like the individual issues. And I got big guys to do covers for me because I was realistic that when a store owner looks at previews, I just want him to order it. I don't. If he sees a big name cover on it, he thinks I could sell it.
Right.
I don't care why he picks it up.
I mean, store owners don't give a shit whether it's a good story, bad story.
I don't care. A lot of guys have egos. They're like, "Well, why didn't you do your own cover?" I'm like, "I would love to do my own covers, but I'm trying to get it in the reader's hands, get some momentum going. You know, to say, hey, if a store owner picks it up because it's got a cover by, you know, some European guy,
Simone
Bianchi. Issue 9.
Pick it up for that cover, and if it gets in and it's people read it that might not, you know, then I'm happy.
Proof's in the pudding.
I've enjoyed Atomica so far.
Thank you. It's not for everybody. I mean, that's why I put it out myself, because it's not, you know, kind of a straightforward storytelling. The artwork I try to do, I pour a lot into it, and I really work my ass off on it. So it's a labor of love. But again, when people, I get some people come up to me, you know, "Oh, did you do drugs in high school? What happened? Did you drop acid?"
Well,
Jim Morrison and all that stuff. I'm like, I understand. You know, that's why I put it out myself.
One of my favorite things in college was I used to like to take courses about the early Soviet Union, because I was always fascinated with sort of the weird ideas that...
Well, you grew up in the 70s. It's the evil empire the Soviet Union was, you know?
I think when I was in kindergarten was the last time was right when Red Dawn came out. So... Yeah. I was pretty freaked out by the Soviets. The I think scare. I might have been the last couple of years generation. When people were still scared of it. But
it's like there could be a war.
But that was really I've always been fascinated by sort of that weird egalitarian, but also a weird hero worshipness of sort of Soviet ideals, where everyone's supposed to be equal, and then there's very much the idea of,
well, when, you know, with me, it was Kirby.
People above.
It was all about Kirby for me, because it was always seemed a great setting for a book, the Soviet Union, because it was, you know, and I was a big New Gods fan growing up, and then I read, I was a big Buscema guy, and I read Thor as a kid, so Atomic was basically just Thor and Kirby kind of thing that I always thought would be a great setting for a book, because you can
nobody can really say to you, oh, you can't do that anymore, or making fun of something. There is no Soviet Union. And I still get people that come up to me at shows, and I get horrible letters because of the title, God is Red. I get religious guys that get mad at me, and I'm like, guys, come on, take it easy. Yeah, I'm not, you know, running a ministry. I'm just selling a comic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cut it out.
Well, yeah, I can definitely see the Kirby New God stuff in it. Just the ideas, of just gods amongst, you know.
They were the evil empire. Every time you'd see like the political cartoons as a kid, they always depicted the Soviet guy as this big guy with a little head, and he had all the medals, and you know, was that very the big, you know, yeah, the bear, you know, the Russian bear. So I just thought it'd be a cool setting for a book, and once you start researching it, there's so much cool stuff there that went on,
sure,
you know, with Stalin and Lenin, and it's like, you know, there's a lot
the
of that. Yeah, and there's a lot, and then there's Russian mythology, which is completely different than Greek mythology, which is what, you know, Marvel was doing. They have the Russian mythology has all their own characters too, and there's a lot of cool stuff that you look at it and you go, this is just comics, this is just like the Marvel universe, you know, because there's very little kind of solid religion in Russia. It's all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Now, you're talking about the trade and the single issues. You know, you do a lot of conventions around the country. Do you find that more and more people are apt to just grab the trade, or are they wanting to get the first issue as kind of a trial, or is it next?
I try to do both. I mean, I got a couple of variant covers. I got Travis Cherist and Arthur Saddam and a couple other guys to do covers just to try to.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like Travis is kind of like a comic book person's artist. People in comics really like Travis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Problem is he doesn't do enough work, you know, in that we see. He does a lot of work. He just does not a lot of stuff we see to be in people's faces as much. And then Arthur got really hot with all the Marvel
zombies.
Everything's just Marvel. Yeah. So every time I see him, I go, Arthur, stop.
That young gun.
Stop.
He's been around for 15 years.
Enough with the zombies. Everything is zombies with that guy. He made a fort. He bought his house off of Marvel.
I really hope that he doesn't go down as being remembered as the Marvel zombie guy, because he was a fantastic artist. And he is not a Marvel young gun. He has been around for a while.
Oh, yeah. You know, but if I'd say for the most part, people will sometimes buy it and then ask about when's the trade coming out.
Right.
And so I would say probably 80% it's trade.
How do you count all these awesome artists to do covers? Simon Beasley you got on the next one, Simone Bianchi.
Shitting yourself stories.
You charm them with that?
No, he threatens them.
You know, like Simone is a friend of mine. You know, I asked him and he was, you know, great, sure, no problem. And then you pay him. Here's the rub. When you're a small press, a lot of guys will say to you, oh, I'm a small press, I don't have a lot of money.
Right.
And then big name artists won't just say to you, hey, no, I won't do it. It's worse. They'll say, oh, let me look at my schedule and let me see. Right. And then that's just a nice way of saying, you know what, I got to get paid. You know, you got to put you on the schedule. You got to say, you know, look, what's your rate? And then they take you seriously.
Right.
And then you just say, you know, okay, and you meet the rate. You tell them what you want, you know, unless it's Glenn Febbery and you got to, you know, get a translator from Pluto to talk to the guy. You know, Glenn is the only guy that got hit by a train while he was falling off another train.
What?
Yeah, it's a true story. Glenn, let me preface it by saying Glenn Febbery did three Atomica covers,
right?
And he's arguably one of the best comic painters ever, in my opinion. I mean, Preacher and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's nobody more talented than Glenn. But
Disclaimer.
About 8 years ago, he was laid up for a while, and he got hit by a train, but he was drunk and he was falling off another train while he got hit by the train.
So he was drunk, he fell off the train drunk.
And then if you look in the introduction of Hellblazer, was a trade that he did covers of.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
In there, there's the story, and it's a true story because I asked him, and it's true. He went to the Bristol show, it was 7 years ago, and he got off the train, and he was standing at the station waiting for them to pick him up, and nobody ever came. So he goes in the pub in the train station, and he drinks. And nobody ever comes, so he just stays there and drinks till it closes and they kick him out. And he goes and lays on the bench and he sleeps. And then when the pub opens, he goes back in the pub. And he did this for 3 days.
Oh my God!
And on Sunday, Garth Ennis is going into the train station, sees him and says, "Glenn, what are you doing here?" And he's like, "I'm waiting for them to pick me up for the con." He's like, "The con's over. It's Sunday." And it's been 3 days. So that's all he did. Didn't change his clothes. Didn't go anywhere. He stayed in the train station, drank, and slept on the bench 3 straight days.
Jesus. Yeah.
True story.
Sounds like Chris at a con.
The most with
Glenn is great though.
With getting covered, is it really just kind of like doing a commission? I mean, you know, a lot of people will get commission work from artists. Is that how you approach it?
Yeah, it's better though. You don't want a commission, and you're always going to get a better piece if you don't get it at the show.
I mean, you operate at what I'm saying, but you as the creator of the book, you more or less operate as the art director.
Yeah,
and you are commissioning a piece of work from a freelance illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm sure that you're very businesslike about it. But I mean, is that do you approach it as really an art director? Approaching an illustrator?
Well, I told him the good thing about it is none of the covers were story driven. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, oh, he's got to be fighting, you know, a raccoon, and you know, this is whatever was going on in the story. I just wanted something iconically Soviet, you know, very, very that industrial kind of avant-garde kind of thing. And a lot of artists are great with that.
Sure.
To a point. Now, if you don't act like you have no input at all, then they'll just think, you know, you're not serious about it and all that. So I kind of tell them what I want. Like with Simone, he's an Italian guy in Tuscany, and he's a huge disciple of Michelangelo. So I said, well, Atomic is a god. Do something like you know, the David.
Right, yeah.
I mean, like Adam in the Sistine Chapel. So that was kind of, I went from there. And with Glenn was the same story. I said I wanted him kind of crucified on the hammer and sickle, because I saw something similar he did with one of his preacher covers. You know, with Alex, I just said, Alex, do whatever you want, because he's going to tell me a few anyway. So, yeah. You know. And then other guys, you just kind of lay it to them, okay, this is what I want to do, and then you hope they send you a layout. Sometimes they don't, because, you know, their egos. But usually they send you a layout, and you got to kind of tell them if you don't like it. Because if you just go, no, it's all great, they're going to hand you like a half-ass kind of a thing.
Is working with cover artists different than working with guys that are primarily interior sequential guys?
Yeah, I mean, the bigger the guy, you got to sometimes deal with a little bit of an ego. You got to kind of tell them, you know, like with Glenn, I had to fight with him for backgrounds, because sometimes they don't want to do backgrounds. They'll say, you know, they'll do atmosphere. You know, or they'll do smoke, or, you know, Rob Liefeld covers feet with a cloud or something.
And there's water everywhere.
No, you gotta say, hey, you know, can you give me some buildings? Can you give me, you know, can you kick it in the ass? Can you give me, you know, this type of thing? And then they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. Sometimes they'll say they want more money, but you usually gotta just, you know, you gotta approach it like, you know, you can't be gaga. You gotta tell them exactly what you want, because you're paying them. You're paying them their rate. You gotta go, what's your rate?
You're not a fan getting a sketch. You're a publisher.
Sometimes you really do have to. You know, you gotta kind of say, no, that isn't really what I wanted. Can you? You know, and then they go, okay. You know, it may take a couple more days. You know, you give them bullshit deadlines too, because if you say you need it, no, whatever date you need it, add 3 months depending who you're getting it from. You know, I've been waiting on a Brian Boland cover since I was in kindergarten.
Yeah, if you're planning on starting a comic, you might want to ask Brian Boland right now.
He's got time.
No, Brian's. You know, I talked to him at Toronto, and he's sitting there doing these amazing Joker drawings with a ballpoint pen. And I start talking to him about Atomica, and he's like, "Hey, sure, no problem. I don't know when I can do it. You know, I don't know when I can get to it, but." You know, send off a check, and you're like, yeah, no, it doesn't work like that. And then we see something, and half.
He's a great cover artist.
Yeah,
he's one of the absolute best. Well,
great guy.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned the art director thing, because you talked about being at Leo years ago, and did you come up through the advertising world?
Yeah, I was a storyboard artist, and I was in the production department, but it was mostly drawn storyboards.
Mm-hmm.
Old ladies eating cereal, and then after they eat the cereal, the frame turns color, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I saw that commercial one more time, I was going to kill myself.
When I say Leo, for people outside of the Chicago area, that's Leo Burnett, which is one of the biggest advertising agencies in the world.
Did you ever try Kirby up the...
The weird thing was, like, Neil Adams still makes a lot of money doing storyboards.
Oh, continuity?
So we would see continuity stuff coming in, and it was great. I'd be like, wow, this is Neil Adams, you know.
Can I keep the storyboard?
No, it was, you know, it was great. But a lot of times now he has staff that does it, and then he kneels it up.
Right. Go right. In and, you
know. As in signs it.
Yeah, he adds a head and, you know.
He's been talking about old Neil Adams a lot lately. Yeah.
It seems like
he's a real SOB. You don't want to talk to him.
We met him in New York. He's the right guy. I mean, he seemed nice. And
he was nice?
He was nice.
He didn't tell you about the creation of the world and all that.
Oh, we didn't get that far into it.
Yeah, talk about Dead Man. Talk about Dead Man.
I don't want to hear about the plates
and bullshit. No one cares.
It's funny,
you know?
Because
no one cares.
I've always had people, because we've had discussions about that whole Earth thing. And people are like, if you met Neil Adams, would you ask him about it? I'm like, no, why would I ask him about that?
I know
Neil Adams because of his science.
What
like,
sucks about it is he's a real SOB, but he's kind of, you know, bitter about the fact that he sees a lot of guys that are doing really well, making millions of dollars, that don't have the talent that he has, and he missed the boat. He was his timing, and he was very influential in every artist, especially of you know, my generation will tell you how influential he was. But when you meet him at times, he's very, very short, and I've heard him, you know, talk to kids who want to show him their work, you know, really rudely and just like, you know, in a way where you're like, you don't talk to kids like that.
Is Centris here?
Well, he's definitely moving his stuff.
Hello, this is Steve Niles, and you are listening to Around Comics.
You had brought in for us, and you had said this is issue 9 of Atomica that just came out.
Yeah.
And you mentioned earlier about you were looking to finish Atomica before moving on to something else. How many issues are you looking to do?
I do. Well, the God is Red story arc is set for 13 issues, and then I'm going to do an annual called USSA, which is how the U.S. lost the war to Russia. We were going to incorporate it in the story, but we thought it'd make a cool issue, an annual, and then I'm going to get a couple other artists to do kind of a stories of Atomica in the back of it kind of thing, kind of like a mythology. But the last couple issues, I just printed them myself because I'd been so busy doing shows and other things to eat. We're doing a big relaunch through Diamond in April, and then it'll be in April previews, and it'll be out in July, and then we'll start it up back at issue 8 and then go all the way through, because I've got like 5 issues in the can that are ready to go. But I stopped soliciting through Diamond. I was printing them up myself and doing them and just getting them away, selling them at shows. But people were like, they couldn't get it in their local comic shop because it wasn't in previews. So I'm doing a big relaunch in April, and then going through 12. I got great covers. I got Claudio Castellini, I got Simone, I got Bisley, I got another Glenn cover, I got a great Travis Cheris cover,
awesome
Bill Sienkiewicz cover, and Gary Gianni did a nice cover.
Oh, okay. Nice. Another Chicago one.
Yeah.
That's part of the whole Academy of Art crew.
Yeah, he's Mr. Prince Valiant now, so, you know, his stuff is all, you know, you got to drink tea when you look at Gary's stuff. You got to have
wonderful artists.
Croutons.
I was working with Travis.
Crumpets. Travis is interesting. He's a nice guy.
I mean, phenomenal artist. He's an artist.
He's a sweet, sweet guy, but he's a very cerebral kind of talent where he's got to be in the mood to do it and he's got to be the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I met him a few times over the years and I asked him to do it, and I'd heard horror stories about him in terms of deadlines, but he sent me a finished cover in like 3 days. It was he sent me a rough, which was, I thought, the finished piece, and he goes, no, I got a lot to do with it still. And then when he sent me the finished, it was like, wow, he painted it himself.
He's phenomenal.
He's a sweet, sweet guy, but he's kind of hard to pin down.
I got Star Wars covers to fucking pump out.
His wife just had a baby too, so he'll be working a lot more now.
Sure. You gonna be able to stick around with us for the second episode?
Sure.
Okay, because there's a lot of stuff I still want to ask you. Well, we got some listener emails I wanted to read, and but I didn't want to have Sal sneak away from us before we had
absolutely.
So we'll do a bunch of other questions on next week's show. I got some fun.
Can you come back next week?
Yes. We got some fun emails this week, and if you want to contact the show, you can do so by emailing us at info@aroundcomics.com. And Sal, feel free to chime in on our answers here.
Okay.
It's for the round table.
None of them are from Neil Adams, are they?
None of them are from Neil Adams.
Would you like to buy a $100 sketch card?
No, a Sharpie sketch card. Yeah.
Yes.
This first email is from Callie Gibson. She says, for those of you who enjoy comics starring animals, I would highly recommend Elephant Men by Richard Starkings and Immortat and Black Sad.
It's a good book.
We talk about that. Yeah. Black Sad, sure.
And Black Sad by a one.
This is a new listener, obviously, yeah, because we've talked about both of those.
I thought she was
going
to say one of you got her pregnant.
Said both.
You don't read those
online.
No.
Yeah, those are here.
Says,
the lawyers don't let those get through.
Both are great, but Black Sad is particularly enjoyable if you like crime fiction or noir. Keep up the great work, fellas.
Black Sad's awesome.
I certainly wanted to read this email because I think sometimes we forget that that not all the listeners out there have listened to all of our episodes.
Why not?
They're all
go back, Callie, and listen to every episode and then email us.
I would say on Elephant Men, that was one of our picks for best ongoing series of 2007.
I think one of my descriptions of Elephant Men is actually on the website for Elephant Men.
Yeah, so is mine.
Fuck Richard.
Yeah, and
what are you guys doing, man? Come on.
And Richard Starkings, who is the creator of Elephant Men. You can go back. I forget the exact episode number. We did like a 2-hour phone interview.
You cannot
with him.
Get that guy to shut up.
I know he's a talker.
He's a talker.
We loved him. And Black Sad.
Well, we talked to him again when we were in
Seattle.
Seattle, yeah.
So
we had him on again.
Love Elephant
Man. And he may
Man.
Possibly make it out for the Windy City Comic Con this year. We haven't confirmed it yet, but Richard might.
He's interested.
Yeah, he's interested. So maybe.
And it's good to see Elephant Men coming out again. There'd been a while.
Yeah,
there
was
no
a lull.
Issues had been coming out, and it's good to see.
No, it's absolutely Elephant Men is a great book, and so is Black Sad. If you can find the trades on that, because it's a import.
Yes.
But a beautifully illustrated book, just gorgeous
anamographic.
Which one am I thinking of? Is that the one with the cat as
yes.
the detective?
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah, I saw those guys. I was at the Lucas show this year in October, and those guys were there.
Were they?
Yeah, really, really nice.
Gorgeous
guys.
Stuff.
Yeah, and they were selling some originals from the book, but they were gone in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. I was going to say, how much were those going for?
Wasn't too bad actually. They were around $1,500. You know, a page, but they're gorgeous,
beautiful.
Gorgeous stuff. Yeah, no, beautiful. And they were gone in like 10 minutes. And I think they're from Spain, those guys.
Yeah,
I think you're
and
right. Yeah.
Real Donner, they had a little booth in there, unassuming.
That's
guys.
A whole different world over there publishing comics, you know.
Well, everything comes out in what they call albums.
Right.
Albums. Yeah, because the Black Sets, they're big.
Big,
yeah. Those are big.
Yeah, but they put them out like once a year.
Right.
So they don't get the whole monthly.
Right.
You know,
and they leave them in print for years and years and years, you know. Mm-hmm. And unlike here,
it's weird because the market over there is less superheroes, and it's like small amount of superheroes, a lot of westerns, mm-hmm. a lot of cowboy books, and a lot of like sci-fi stuff. But guys with capes, as they call them, it's only about maybe 20% of the market they have out there for that stuff.
It's really inverted from what it is here.
A lot of westerns.
Really?
Especially the French. They romanticize the American West. Yeah, you go.
I've heard that.
Right now in France, they have maybe a dozen Westerns that sell easily over 50,000-60,000 copies every
month. Wow.
You know, they love that, the Demon. In Italy, it's Demon Dog is one of their biggest books. It's been that way since like the 60s. And, and in the French, my God, they just love
American They love that
West.
American,
they
the
love
Wild
the
West.
American
well,
Wild
I know
West.
The, with the Italians, with, the Sergio Leone stuff, but I didn't know about the French.
Yeah. No, in Paris, like there's a comic store on like every corner in Paris.
Jerry Lewis and Westerns.
Jerry Lewis and Westerns.
Wow.
Was Jerry Lewis ever in a Western? Because why can't we have that happen?
I'm trying to remember. Was
Jerry, the French.
Did Dean and Jerry had to do a Western at one point.
Some stupid Western comedy.
Yeah, they had to have. I'm trying to remember, but
all right. Well, our next email comes in from Micah? Yeah, it's Micah Valentinetti, and that's. Speaking of Italian, so
Chinese, Italian? Oh. Does your laundry but has good red sauce?
He says, "I have a question about." He says, "I have a question about the Marvel cosmic books that have been coming out recently."
Yes,
I know a few of you on the show have said very good things about what Marvel has been doing with their cosmic characters.
Yes.
Which intrigued me a lot. But now that my beloved Darkhawk is making his way back into the fray, I wanted to see if anyone could tell me where a good place to start would be. I see there are trades for the new Nova and Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know if they tie into this War of the Kings thing. Would those be good places to start? I mean, if they're good, they're good, and I'll get them. But are there other places where I should go to get some foundation as to what's been going on lately? I have bits and pieces of old comic stuff, so I know tiny bits of cosmic information.
Going to be a quiz?
But nothing wrong. For someone with an Uatu tattoo, I should really know a lot more. Whoops, just want to make sure I have a basis
of... A Watcher tattoo?
Yeah, he has a Watcher
not
tattoo.
Not a Watcher tattoo. Uatu.
Uatu. The Uatu.
Not a Watcher.
Sorry.
So he kind of goes on, and that's the part of the email that I was like, what? So I told him that we would answer his question, read his email on the show, if he sent in pictures of the Watcher tattoo.
Oh, nice.
But it's a Watcher head and...
What style? The hell is this?
On a fat boxer's body.
No, it looks like what? Like it looks like Yul Brynner in Westworld.
Yes. I don't look like a Watcher. I don't
understand. It's like a fat little boxer body with a Watcher head
and
a cape.
I'm scared of it. Taken with a Polaroid, man.
It's not the collar. It's like the collar.
Yeah.
It's attached to his.
And then there's another one with a Galactus
fake.
See,
fake.
These are fake tattoos.
These are pictures from two friends of his that all have this theme of boxer bodies with comic characters.
Right, they all lost the heads.
I need to know more on this.
This is something to be very scared of. So this guy's like the assassin in Lethal Weapon. The first one, that's him. The guy with the long hair.
Gary Busey?
Or the guy who tortured Mel Gibson. That's the guy.
That was Gary Busey, wasn't it?
That's who said that one.
The white hair. So I'm going to try and get permission from Micah to post this on the episode thread. But they are some of the more interesting comic-themed tattoos I've ever seen.
Yeah, I need to know more information on why the box.
I don't like this at all. I don't like these. I don't want to email the show anymore.
These are answerless questions.
To go back,
these are tame as comic tattoos go. Those are pretty actually
but they're almost creepier.
I don't know, man.
They're very sober in their
This is like voodoo. You know?
It's something weird. I don't know.
To it.
Well, the answer is question as far as where to start with
psychiatrist?
Medicine?
University level? Yeah, university level. Prozac? Both the Nova series and the Guardians of the Galaxy series are both really good.
You can jump right in.
Yeah, jump right in. I would start at the beginning on both of them because they're
far. No, you'd start at Nova.
As far as the War of the Kings stuff, that's more to do with the Inhumans, and I don't think there's really a whole lot you have to read beforehand.
They're putting those tags on a bunch of different stuff, but I can't say that it's still Guardians of the Galaxy has had two issues with it on it, but it's not like
it has really anything to do with
just loosely
associated.
I'm still catching up with Annihilation. I got all the hardcovers for like $10 a piece at Wizard last year, so I'm into the third one now, and Annihilation was a lot of fun. If you want to get reacquainted or acquainted for the first time with a lot of Marvel cosmic characters, the Annihilation series Conquest, and then what was the
I don't remember. The first one was just Annihilation Conquest,
and now, and then that
led into Nova
and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well,
so Annihilation is probably
Conquest led into Guardians. Yeah, of the Galaxy.
But the whole Annihilation thing is probably a pretty good place to start if you want to get totally caught up on current Marvel cosplay.
But you don't need to.
You don't have to read
Nova or Guardians of the Galaxy. You can just start with either one of those.
I have not
titles.
Read Annihilation or Annihilation.
And
Guardians of the Galaxy is phenomenal. It's a great book. But another thing I was going to say, if you really want to go back and read some other just good cosmic, more cosmic stuff that of recent was the Planet Hulk stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, it really doesn't have anything to do with that Annihilation.
But it has a cosmic feel.
But it has a cosmic feel to it. And it was good. Yeah,
Surfer.
Yeah, Surfer. You know, that kind of stuff. But there's
Power where. Cosmic.
But I don't think you really have to read anything if you want to just start reading War of Kings. There's not. It's the Inhumans, really. And It has really no... You don't need to know much about the Inhumans to read that book. You don't, like, there's nothing recent that
has
happened.
As you said, they're just kind of, they've been X-Men on the moon for 30 years.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And now they're not. Now they're not.
Still got the dog?
Still, yeah.
You gotta have Lockjaw.
Lockjaw's the teleporter.
And for, for everyone else out there that's not reading Guardians of the Galaxy, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a great book.
It's funny. Issue number 9 was...
It's got a raccoon with a machine gun.
Was maybe one of the best written comic books I've read in a long time.
Yeah.
There's... it actually made me laugh out loud on the train while I was going home. Well, there's a scene where Star-Lord is trying to convince all these guys in the prison that the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to come save them. And he's like, who are you with, Guardians of the Galaxy? And the guy's like, you just made that name
up.
That's
not real. Who calls himself Star-Lord?
Yeah.
That's not a real name.
That's not a real name. Right, you're just making stuff up. There's no team by that name.
But that's, you don't... If you just want to read War of Kings, just start reading War of Kings. You don't have to worry about it too much.
Absolutely.
Is that
so,
it?
Yep, those are our two emails. Thank
creepy.
You. Once again, you can email us at info@aroundcomics.com.
Email us your creepy tattoos.
Yep, yep.
That's going to, like, scary. This is going to stick with me for a while.
Yeah, that's pretty scary. that's This is not going to make anybody's yearbook. This is not
good.
And then they have like letters. One, two, and the of.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I feel like
Chinese mafia.
Is this like the podcast?
I'm not bullshitting.
Is this the comic?
I'm kidding.
They got better tattoos than that. Right.
Is this the comics podcast version? Is this the comics podcast version of The Ring? Are we all going to die?
Yeah. It's like Stephen King. It's something wrong here. It's like thinner or something.
You know, but you know, as I'm, you know, we only see the cat. We don't see the actual people, so I'm thinking Quesada, Bendis, and
well, what I don't understand is the boxer bodies are they're like fat, like butterbean boxer bodies. They're not even.
I'm not butterbean, by the way. I waited on butterbean at a bar and grill I worked at in Iowa.
What did he order?
A steak and a huge iced tea with 5 packets of sweet and well.
Because, you know, he's watching his weight.
Yeah. Sure, he's got to see. He's a fighter.
What does he do now? Is he, like, run a daycare center? Or what is he doing?
He's a tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Listen, I can do what you want, but the only thing I can do is put the head of who you want on a fat
body.
A fat boxer's body. Really, please take this away. I don't...
cover this up. Studio 407 Comics is proud to present Smuggling Spirits, a pulse-pounding thrill ride through a nightmarish Prohibition-era America, where humans live in fear of bloodthirsty creatures called the Darklings. A bootlegger and his young ward find themselves on the run when they stumble upon the key to destroying these monsters. As the beasts close in, the two must make their final stand. Smuggling Spirits blends the noir action of Sin City with the suspense and horror of Hellboy. From the two visionary creators, Ben Fisher and Michael Henderson, read what Rue Morgeau calls a shot of white lightning and what Comics Bulletin proclaims harsh, humorous, and altogether weird. It's a solid, entertaining read. From Studio 407, where horror is unleashed. All right. I want to thank everyone who has given us some iTunes reviews here recently. This is the Thank You Australia episode.
We're huge in Australia.
Huge in Australia.
I'm not kidding. Australia, next to the USA, is the biggest downloader of our episode.
Australia?
It's the U.S.
Big
U.S., Canada.
Big comics.
And then Australia.
A lot of good comics.
And then, like,
have we had anyone from Antarctica or Africa download?
We have had
finally
a couple. There's been like 3.
Antarctica is the last continent.
I don't think there's been any Antarctica. I'll check.
Nice.
But there has been Africa, yeah.
So,
but not really anybody. Well,
they haven't discovered the printing press, I think, in Antarctica.
They don't know.
Antarctica doesn't have technology.
Don't know if there's much broadband.
Carved shit and ice and. They tell all their stories in ice carvings.
You still read Uncle Doc or something.
There ain't nobody there.
Yeah.
Besides, like, scientists.
Yeah. We'll see if Whiteout ever comes
bears
out.
Can't find ice.
Yeah.
How are you going to get a podcast? Cut it off, guys.
So our Australian iTunes reviewers, Super Harmon, Maya Tech 19, Revocash,
Simon,
Lord of Flashheart and Lee Webb. Online. Yes, thank you, Lee Webb, for using your name, if that is your real name.
Lee Webb.
All right, there are plenty of ways, in addition to email, that you can correspond with us. You can drop by the AroundComics.com forum, and you can also follow, I think, all of us on Twitter.
MercuryComics.com too.
Is that is that the best way?
That's the website for the book and mm-hmm. any updates and new art and previews and covers, and I promise not to put the pictures of those tattoos on there. The, MercuryComics.com.
The first trade is available.
Yep. I'm doing a big relaunch, and again, it'll be in April previews. It'll be out in, you know, in the late spring. And Wizard is Nag is Hell is Frozen Over. They're doing a big write-up on it, and
nice issue.
It's got the Obama cover, you know.
Yeah. I know our main sponsor of the show, InStockTrades.com, has the Atomic
I saw those guys at the Super Show in September. Mm-hmm. They bought a bunch of trades. Yeah, good guys.
Yep. And speaking of Super Show, I don't know if they have a date finalized yet.
I think it's about the same. I think
it was kind of a soft date, and that's why I hadn't mentioned it yet. They're talking about September 12th, and as soon as I hear what their firmed up date is going to be, we'll definitely mention the Comic Geek Speak Super Show, which leads into for Brian and Peter, which leads into the Windy City Comic Con, which I want to tell you about a little bit right now, which is going to be the week following if they stick with that date. It's the Windy City Comic Con is on Saturday, September 19th. Mark your calendars now. We're adding over 30 new creators to our guest list this year, along with
Sal will be there. Come tell him your pants shitting story.
Yes, happens.
Putting them together. I'm starting a Who Shit Their Pants website.
You're going to be the Garrison Keillor of pants shitting.
That's it. I'm going to be like, see, where did you find this guy?
He just wandered in one way and we made him stay.
This guy, I know, shit his pants. No doubt in my mind.
He's drinking Miller High Life camo cans. He's been out in the woods at one point.
What's
or
with
another.
The camo cans?
You're going to jinx me, guys. I'm going to shit my pants tonight.
Is this supposed to, instead of a brown bag, you
it's
put
for
it
when you're hunting.
The cops
for when you're hunting.
Oh, when you're
hunting. For enjoying after the adventure, or 5 or 6 before you go.
Is it a good mixture, alcohol with a gun, or no?
Yeah, I'm from Wisconsin, yes.
Oh, okay.
There's no other way.
Okay. What do I know?
You got to have at least 3 or 4 pops before you, you know, head out to the woods.
Most people hunt.
Get shaken
away from their wife.
It helps calm you down.
Yeah, very little hunting actually happens on hunting trips. It's mostly
walking.
Sitting in stands. You got a grocery store. Why bother?
I see you being a hunter.
No,
you got that hunter look.
No, not more of an El Pollo Loco guy or a burrito or a Chipotle. I saw El Pollo Loco on the way here. I almost had a heart attack. I got aroused. I haven't seen El Pollo Loco since I was in college.
Nice.
If you've never been, check them out.
I'm thinking of a pit stop on the way home.
Right on Wilson. Of course, you gotta, you know, go with the bulletproof glass on Wilson Broadway. But hey.
Oh, Uptown. Yeah, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Well, you are a Windy City Comic Con alumni, and you're going to be back this year.
Yep. Yeah, good time last year. We had nothing but good things to say.
Awesome.
Great part of town. A lot of good creators. I'm going to see how many of, you know, other degenerate artists I can pull in.
Sweet.
You know.
Sweet.
See how many of them are on parole that time of the year. You know, talk to their ward officer.
We certainly appreciate you coming last year, and glad that you're coming back. If you folks out there want to see our ever-evolving guest list, you can go to WindyCityComicCon.com for that and more information. And you can also please buy your pre-registered ticket online. It's only $10, and it's a great way to, number one, guarantee your free gift bag.
Oh, gotcha.
Whenever you get
up
to the show.
First 500.
Yep, first 500. And we're going to limit it to 500, and that's my goal, is that I want to have 500 pre-registered tickets sold before the show. So get on the website and buy your ticket now. You can listen to Tom versus the Flash.
So I don't have to run to the bank 4 times for $10 bills.
Yeah. It was the
bring correct change, people.
So now we need,
God damn it, I'm tired of running to the bank.
We need $700 in fives.
I probably went through, I don't even know how many fives I got. Ridiculous.
You can
everybody comes with a 20. Fucking
for a $5
shot. Why is the ATM machine?
I know.
That's all it gives
us.
He's bitching. He's got too much money. Listen.
Yeah.
There's some cons out there. They got to go out on the street and like pull guys in, and you guys are complaining. Come on, stop it.
All right, you're right.
Don't bring 20s, people.
This is
heavy-handed bourgeois bullshit. I had to go to the bank and get change. Ooh, whoa, it's me. There are kinds out there that I want for now. Then you walk in, there's a soup kitchen.
It's like I'm fucking folded away on a con.
Well, you know, hey, assholes, don't bring 20s. Put that on the website. And see how many tickets
I should have a shot.
Yeah, because I like Larry now.
I was going to say. Yeah, we're
Larry
gonna
would see that and be like, finally, someone has decided to properly run a convention. Yeah.
We're going to rename it the Larry Con.
Yeah. Larry TV.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I shouldn't bitch about it. Yeah.
That's a people good thing. It was too much money.
It was a good problem. But we had Suntris was working the registration table, and he's like, Chris, we're running out of fives. We need them now. And I'm like, okay, I'll go get Sal. And he grabbed me by the shirt, and he said, no, you don't understand. No.
John was very serious about it.
John was awesome.
Servicing the ticket buyers.
All right, check out Tom versus the Flash 2 to 3 times a week as Tom runs.
All the time now.
Is it 3 all the time?
Yep.
It's on a regular schedule. As Tom runs you through the history of DC.
Only until baseball season starts.
Yeah.
And then it won't be, and I know it. There's just nothing going on right now. I know.
There's nothing to watch.
You can listen to me on 11 o'clock comics once a week with Vince B, David Price, and Wood. Those that comes out on Thursday fuckers. Or Friday as we wax poetic about Jack Kirby, Gary.
You can
Panther.
Listen to me soon on something, but I can't
again.
Say that yet.
Again with
no,
you.
No, this is done. It's our first episode. It's already been recorded.
You and
I can't say what it is. Right, but I have recorded the first episode about something, and it will be announced soon.
It's about his hate for $20 bills.
Yes.
Please no 20s. It's called.
Please. 20s question mark. No.
Stay home. I don't want to walk to the bank is what it's called.
All right, Sal, the website one more time.
MercuryComics.com.
All right. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Sal and Tom and Mr. Mark Beatty, as always, for hosting us here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. And it's turned into a busy night here. Looks like we may have some extra voices on the next show. I know Eric Rose is here, the artist of The Roberts. We're going to hear a little bit about that next week as that trade gets ready to come out. Everyone have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again on Monday with another new episode. I didn't mention it. We started the featured music today. All the music in this episode, Rolling Stones. And the I was trying to stay thematically.
Hey, tattoo, yeah.
Tattoo you. Right. So you got some cuts off tattoo
and
you.
And my only tattoo.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's right. Oh, your tattoos. Tom's fantastic.
Yeah,
tattoo.
You got to show. You got
to
show.
Ooh, after the show. Okay.
Hey, this is naked later.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, get naked now. So anyway, thank you to the Rolling Stones for all of our musical bumpers and intros and outros this week. Everyone have a fantastic rest of your week. Be back again and next Monday with another full length episode. In the meantime,
in between,
we'll be everywhere again.
Comics.
Okay, let me show you
weird tattoos. Here, let me show you. Take your pants off, folks. Jesus Christ. Where is it? There's this.
Nice.
And cool.
Tom's. Oh, Tom.
He wasn't drunk.
And I got my Uatu tattoo on my ass. But I got a fat wrestler body instead of a boxer body. That's a creepy one.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2009. Yeah.